praise God, He's the same God forgiving our sins. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time many times with forgiveness. We will make the comment, I'll forgive, but I will not what?
Forget.
Man, that's a Christian way to be, ain't it? Huh? I'll forgive you, but I'm not going to forget. Praise God this morning that God, Jesus Christ, came, was born in a manger, died on a cross, and to forgive my sins. You know, He's going to be the same. If the world continues for another 5,000 years, He's going to be the same God forgiving the same sins as He is today. And as He was in the Bible time forgiving sins, praise God. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty thankful that He has forgiven my sins. Amen. I am thankful that I am going to heaven. I'm not going to smell. I'm not going to taste. I'm not going to feel the punishment of hell because He forgave me of my sins. Praise God, He didn't change on that. Are you not excited that He didn't change on that? You better be. Praise God that He doesn't run on the same emotions and the same feelings that we do sometimes. Praise God that He is not the God that has our sin nature, but He is the same today and forever. You know, if you read this story, it talks about the lame man and how He ended up healing him and He forgave him of his sins. Praise God. Thank God today that He has forgiven me of my sin. He forgives me when I think wrong, when I say things wrong. He forgives me. It don't matter. Think about Moses. Moses went out and killed someone. He forgave him. Amen. You know, we're the ones that puts the thermometer on sin. You realize that? We're the ones that puts categories on the sin so much. Sin, sin. Wrong's wrong. And praise God, He is forgiven me. With that being said, though, how are you? Are you a forgiven Christian, or are you one that wants to hold on to a grudge? Are you a forgiven Christian, or is your mood swing up or down, or emotions high or low, and you want to hang on to that one thing that no matter what, I'm not forgiving that person? You do realize we live in our what? We live in our flesh. And when we let our flesh, young men, don't. Thank you. I'm ready to start dancing by you tapping your foot. When we let our flesh control us, we have a hard time forgiving others. Our wives, our spouses, our children, each other in the church. Praise God, He doesn't operate the way we do. Praise God. You know what? This week He would have probably been, where my name's written in the book, it'd probably be worn through with an eraser. Right in it. You ever done that? Miss Swift, you've taught school for a couple years. Have you ever had kids where the paper got so thin because they'd write their, and then they'd erase it. They write it and they'd erase it. Next thing you know, there's a hole there. You know what? If it was based upon that church, guess what? In the book of life, where my name is, it would be clear through all the pages to the back of the book. But praise God, He doesn't change, Mrs. Musgrave. He loves me the same today as He did yesterday. He forgives me the same today as He did yesterday. Mark chapter 16. Just want to be an encouragement to you. We're going to want to make changes in our lives. We're going to make, we pray for changes in the weather. We pray for this, we pray for that. God never changes. Mark chapter 16, verse 9, it says, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He hath cast seven devils, and she went and told them that had been with him, and they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Isn't that something? She just seen Jesus. She spent time, and she goes back, "Hey, you won't believe this. You're nuts, woman. You're crazy." And it says, "And after that, he appeared to another form unto two of them, and they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believing them. So now they're not believing them. Afterwards, he appeared unto the 11, and they sat at the meat and unbraided them with their unbeliefs and hardness of what? Heart. Because they believed not them which had seen after he had risen. And he said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned." Guess he conquered death. He conquered death. Church, he's the same. He forgives sins. He conquered death. We can go throughout the Bible in different areas. One of the most common stories is Lazarus. Did he conquer death there? You know, you've heard people say, and I mean, why did he go to the cemetery and call, "Hey, come forth," because all the people would have came out. But he came and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." Hey, is he a God that is worth trusting and putting our faith into? One that has conquered the one thing that we cannot conquer. You understand that this morning? You can conquer smoking. You can conquer gossip. You can conquer eating too much. And my soul, I did over the holidays. You can conquer sweets. Okay, let's go back to eating too much. You can conquer sweets. Man, we have these Buckeyes at the house, man. They're not big around. Oh, my soul. I get a glass of milk, two of them Buckeyes, man. I'm like, I get the jitters. I can conquer sweets. I can conquer all these things. But one thing in life you will not conquer is death. But God can. You understand this morning, as a Christian, you're not going to see death. We are going, this body will, praise God, get rid of the flesh. But when we go, we give it up and we go to heaven. We're not going to see. Yes, we may see and suffer the time up to that time. There may be a heart attack or cancer or whatever may come your way that ends up taking you out. But guess what? We're not going to see the death. Why? Because Jesus Christ has conquered death. We can conquer many things in our life. 2026, you ought to have goals and you ought to have things that you want to conquer in your life. And there ought to be goals that you look back when you hit 2027 and said, "Hey, look what God has done and look how God helped me get through these things." But I'm telling you, church, it takes God Almighty to conquer death. Praise God, He's the same today as He is yesterday, as He will ever be. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23, and it says, one of my most favorite stories in the Bible, I love to preach this whole story, but we're just going to point something out in it today. And it says, when he entered into the ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. Anyone know what that tempest is? Young people, what's a tempest, you know? It's called a storm. They was out in the sea, and a storm came. And it said, a tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ships were covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples, hey, do you realize when you are right with God and you are following his will and you have a relationship with him, do you realize a lot of times you can sleep right through the storm? The problem is we're not right with God and we're not having a relationship with him. So when the storm comes, we hear the wind and we hear the rain and we hear the... I used to be a very, very sound sleeper. My wife would be up. She'd be listening to the thunderstorm, and the kids would all be up and hearing the thunderstorm. Jessica never loved thunderstorms. And she'd be up, and they'd be all fearful. And me being the man of the house, I'd wake up next morning, branches would be out of the front tree in the yard, leaves are all over the place, trampoline might have been flipped upside down. I'm thinking, holy smokes. What happened around here last night? I had peace. I was sleeping. A sound sleeper. And when you are right with God, and when you have that relationship with him, church, that's the problem with churches. That's the problem with Christians. You don't have a relationship. You got the fire insurance, but you got no relationship. And you have that relationship with him. When the storm comes, many times you can sleep right through it and you never even knew it was there. But that ain't always the case, obviously. So let's find out. It says, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little what? Faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the seas, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him? You say, what a powerful story. What a neat story. Man, and I just kind of put myself out there in that boat. No light, and there is no lighthouse, and there is no city lights, and it's just pure darkness, and the storm is rolling in, and man, the water's coming over the ship, and man, we're going to drown, we're going to die, we're not going to survive. And he goes, and they go running to Jesus. Praise God, we can go running to Jesus in our time of storm. And if he helped them at their time of storm, and the first verse I read was, he's the same what? Yesterday, today, and what? If he's willing to help them in the midst of their storm with their little what? Lack of what? Faith. Isn't he willing to help us? 2026, a storm may come your way. You don't know, a death in the family, maybe cancer, maybe... a shortage of candy. I don't know what your storm may be. That'd be my storm. I don't know what your storm may be in 2026. But he's still the same God. And he's still going to take care of me if I have the right what? Relationship with him. You do understand, church. If you don't have the relationship with him, he doesn't have to take care of you. If you don't have the young people, if you don't have a relationship with him, he doesn't have to help you at home. You do understand a lot of the promises in the book comes from having the right heart with him, right? My God shall supply all my needs. Okay, I agree. As long as we're right with him. Oh, my need is this, but I don't go to church. On Facebook, I get so fired up. So many people. Would you pray for this First question I want to ask him. Was you in church Sunday?
No.
No, I ain't going to pray for it. You say, Brother Jewel, that's cold. Why? If they're not doing what God wants them to do, how do we expect God to bless them? These men, they went and got in the ship, and the storm came. Now, you know what? Was they where they needed to be? 100%. God told them, said, hey, let's get in the ship, let's go. They was following him. They was where they needed to be. The storm came. It rains on what? The just and unjust. And the storm came, and when the storm came, they got scared, they got anxious, they went running to Jesus, but he calmed the storm. Hey, church, he doesn't expect us to be perfect. He just wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants us to spend time with him. And when the storms come, I don't know what your storm will be. 15 years ago, in the February, our storm came. One of our storms came when they announced Dad having cancer. Doctor walked in. A lady doctor walked in, and she said, "I have some bad news. You have throat and stomach cancer, very, very bad." And I just sit there, and Dad sit there, and my wife sat beside me, and I sat there, and we didn't say much. The lady said, she was trying to let us know how serious this was. 3 months, 3 days later, he passed away. That's how serious it was. I looked at her, and I said, Doc, I said, we're Christians. God's going to get us through this. It's going to be all right. She just started weeping. That was our storm. That was one of the biggest storms I ever had in my life. But guess what, young people? I trusted God. I tested him. I used the situation for a testimony for God. And guess what? We got through the storm. She stepped out, came back in. She said, I'm a pastor's wife. She goes, can I pray with you guys? I said, you sure can. She started to pray. She got partway through her prayer, and she just lost it and just started to weep again. I picked up with the prayer and continued praying God, you know, God. Right or wrong, church, I didn't pray for God to heal him. I prayed for God's will. It was my storm in my life that I had to face, and one day I was going to face it one way or another. Unless I was to go first. Did I want him healed? Sure, I'd like to have had him healed. But you know what I wanted more? I wanted God to receive glory, and I wanted God's will to be done. You know what that's saying no to? That's saying no to my flesh. Was it a battle between my flesh and my spirit side? Sure it was. Your storm's going to come. Your storm may come in 2026. Don't forget, he's the same God today. Same God next year. Same God as ever. Same God. Same God. Not a different flavor. Same God. 1 Kings, chapter 17. We was here just a couple weeks ago when I preached. Another one of them stories I love to death. And I think I can kind of relate to this story a little bit. One of the reasons I relate to this story is the widow woman and her son. In the church, I kind of relate to this story because we grew up so poor but so rich. Do you understand how rich this lady was? Let's find out how rich she is. You know the story. We're just going to jump down to verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But make me there a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail unto the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did accordingly to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many what? Church. If he can provide for a widow and her son and a man of God, and he's the same God as then as he is today, as he will be forever, can he provide for you? What was the key thing for him to provide for her? What was the key thing? You said faith. You say, I don't believe it was faith, actually. What? Obedience. Now, did faith come when she obeyed 100%? Obedience. When she obeyed, God provided. You say, you made mention that she was poor but so rich. Well, I don't know about you, but I'd count it pretty rich if my cabinets kept filling themselves up every time my wife walked out. Hey, there's another can of green beans. Would you not count that rich? If you did not have to go to the store and purchase anything, but you had food to eat every day, would you not consider that rich? What was she rich with? God's blessings. Church, I can somewhat relate to this. We lived 5 or 6 months one time on $500 in the 80s. So how'd you pay your light bill? Didn't have lights. How'd you do that? Didn't do it. But God took that $500, and my dad spent it wisely, and I never went hungry one time. I ate a meal every day, or two, or three. Now, I might not have ate what I wanted to eat. Chicken was 19 cents a pound or 29 cents a pound. We'd have fried chicken on Sunday. Dad always boiled the chicken. That way he'd get the broth off of it. We'd have chicken and noodles on Monday. Dad would get the chicken left over on Sunday, out on Tuesday. We'd have chicken and noodles on Tuesday for weeks. But what was God providing? The problem is, church, he doesn't always provide what our flesh wants. And when he doesn't provide what our flesh wants, we take it offensive and we get upset. Would you not agree? This widow woman, she obeyed, God provided. If you're not being provided for, you might want to check if you're obeying. If you're not being taken care of financially, not by your wants, but by your what? Needs. There was a time, I know I've told this before, the time Daniel, probably about 3 or 4 years ago, he needed everything. He needed this, needed that, needed this, needed that. Pretty soon I said, son, what's your needs? I need that candy bar. No, you don't. What's your needs? Food, water, clothes. Every time he'd say the word need, we'd go through it. Son, what's your need? Pretty soon he got to where he started saying, I want this, I want that. Hey, it's all right to want. It's all right for me to want. This morning for my breakfast, you ready? This is what I had for breakfast. Had a piece of pizza. Had a jalapeno popper. It was really hot, so I got some cheese ball and crackers out to tame it down. And I glass of Pepsi. What a breakfast. Some of you are saying, my gut would be tore up. Thank God I don't have that problem yet. What's my need? Was all that, oh, yeah. Then I got in my candy that I got for Christmas, and I had a couple little Snickers and some Milky Ways, and I had some candy this morning after that. You say, what's your need? Is all that stuff your need? No, just something to eat was my need. God just blessed me with the extras. And Miss Musgrave, that jalapeno for some reason was hot. They was eating them last night. Everybody saying, no, that ain't hot. Man, I got the hot one. Hey, did God take care of this lady's needs? She obeyed. She takes care of your need. He'll take care of your needs in 2026. The same way he did in 2025. If you what? Obeyed. All right, move on. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Young people, you're doing very well. You're sitting there good. Because of that, Caleb's going to give you $5 each. Luke chapter 10, out of Jessica's coffee money. Luke chapter, and the rest of you can have some too. Luke chapter 10, verse 33. We know the story quite well. Nothing new here. And it says, we're not going to read 31, 32 because of time, but we'll jump here quick. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had what? On him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, and then you can read on there. Here's my question. Did the priest have the same opportunity? Did the Levite have the same opportunity? Who took the opportunity? The Samaritan. How likely was it for a Samaritan to do something like this? Not likely at all. You do understand God gives every one of you an opportunity to serve him. You say, but I'm not qualified. Neither am I. I won't do a good job. Neither will I. You do understand? Sixth grade of school, I got 2 D's, 3 F's. Didn't go back to school after that. I have a GED today. You say, do you struggle? Sure, I struggle. But I said, hey, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And guess what? He lets me preach to wonderful kids. He lets me be part of their lives. Is it because you're a great person? No. Is it because you're educated? Far from it. You know what it is? It's because when I was a young boy, I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And I get to make a difference in someone's life. I get to walk up and shake these young people's hands, and I get to hear their stories, and I get to give them counsel. Church, you can use whatever excuse you want in life not to do something for Jesus, but that's what it is, and it's an excuse. An excuse. And you can justify it however you want. But you're the one that has to lay down and close your eyes at night. If you're not doing something for God, you're not right with God. You're no different than the priest. How many of you think that was terrible while the priest? Raise your hand. Who thought it was terrible to leave a man laying there dead? Raise your hand. Who thought it was terrible out of the Levi? All right. Terrible. Terrible. Leave a man lay there to die. How many of you think it's really terrible if you're not doing something for Jesus? Don't raise your hand, but are you doing something for him? Are you serving him in a way? How's it working for you? The Levi walked by, the priest walked by, many church members walked by. Somebody else will get it. I teach these kids all the time. You see a piece of paper laying on the floor, pick it up. How many have walked by and seen something laying? Oh, somebody else get that. That ain't my job. I tell these kids all the time, you find something laying on the floor, you pick it up, bring it to me, I'll give you some candy. I'll reward you. You do understand, adults, God will reward you. His reward are more eternal than a stupid piece of candy. Every one of us, he's the same God. He expects us to serve. He expected the priest. He expected the Levi, but ended up the Samaritan did the job. Same God, yesterday, today, and what?
Forever.
Mark chapter 2, Matthew, Mark. And I'll close with this. Mark chapter 2, not Matthew. Grab a hold of these five things that I've given to you. He's forgiven us. Praise God. He's conquered death. Praise God. He's calmed the seas. Praise God. He can provide for you. He'll give you opportunity. In the sixth thing, you will walk away in your life being able to claim this sixth thing. The last thing. Mark chapter 2, verse 12. And immediately, back to the story. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all. So has he had victory? He came in as a what? A lame man. He came in as a sick man. He ended up now, he has his sin forgiven. He's now walking. And it says, and so much that they were all what? Amazed and glorifying who? Saying, grab these next words. These words you ought about to look at right now. Look back in 2025 and say these words. We never saw it on this fashion. If you cannot look back in 2025 and look at different things that God has done for you and be able to claim that right there, maybe you haven't been doing nothing for him. But we don't live in the what? We live in the flesh. We don't live in the past. We need to live in the future. So my goal for 2026 is I want to be able to, on New Year's Eve of 2026, look back and say, man, I've never seen God do anything in someone's life like he has in mine. It doesn't have to be a visual thing. Do you understand that? It can be just a heart thing. It can be a spiritual walk thing. Yes, they all seen this. Yes, they saw the man. They saw him get up. They saw all that. But you know what? You ought to be able to claim in your life, hey, God, man, I've never seen you work in my life like you did in 2025. Man, I can't wait to see what happens in 2026. And then when that night comes around, man, or when that situation comes around, you can look back and say, man, I've never saw it. I've never seen it like that in my life before. I've never seen God do such things in my life before as he did this year. I've never seen him answer prayer like he did in my life like he did this year. Because if you're not growing, you're what? And if you're dying, that's nothing to do with him. But if I'm growing, young people, on December 31st this year, I should be able to look back and I should say, man, in the 52 years, I was going back here a couple years, in the 52 years I've been alive, man, I've never seen God work as he did in my life like he did this last year. And in 2026, on December 31st, I should be able to look back and say, man, I've never seen it like this before, God. Man, this was so much better than 2025. So much better than 2024. So much better than 2023. So much better than 20. You got the idea, church? It isn't always a visual thing. God deals with us how? How does God deal with us, young people? Does he deal with us as a group? How does he deal with me? Separately. He deals with me what? Separately. Personally. Did he deal with Israel in the Old Testament as a group? Sure. But that's done. Praise God for grace. Amen. Praise God for the cross. Church, where are you at? Can you look back and say, this is my most spiritual year I've ever lived? And if not, praise God, we don't live in the past. But guess what? We can pick up the pieces. And we can look, and maybe in 2026, on December 31st, December 31st, we can look and say, hey, I have my sweetest relationship. I have my sweetest walk. I have my sweetest time with Jesus. And I've never seen it like this before. That's what they said, isn't it? How's your walk today? Are you trusting that he's the same? We all agreed when we started, who changes? We do. We do. He doesn't change. Thank God he doesn't change. Church, how you doing today? Are you forgiving others like he's forgiven you as a piano player comes? He's conquered death. You won't conquer it. He'll calm the seas in your life. He'll calm the storms. He'll help you get through them. He don't take them away from you all the time. You understand that? He'll help you get through them. You obey him, he'll provide for you. And if you're obeying him and he's providing for you, he'll give you opportunity to serve. There's nothing like serving. Amen. Nothing fulfilling like serving Jesus. And when you serve him, you can look back and say, man, I've never seen it like this before. I never saw it on this fashion, is the way the Bible put it. And you ready for this? When you can say that, your loved ones around you can say it too. Because you can't keep it hid. You can't keep the joy of the Lord. You can't keep your relationship with him. You can't keep any of that stuff hid when it's right. Because it's a bright light. And it shines about. And it shines for others to see. And when others see it, guess what? Others can be blessed from it too. How are you doing this morning? Let's all stand to our feet. I could go on just a couple more points there, but I won't. How do I accomplish these things? By walking in the Spirit, saying no to the flesh, and by having a relationship with him. As the piano plays, the altar's open this morning. There's a thought for you. Just thought about it. One of the biggest things being talked about anymore is how much groceries are in store. Do you understand as a Christian you don't have to worry about that? Praise God. As long as I'm tithing, as long as I'm involved, as long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, He promised to take care of it for me. Now, am I going to get to eat everything I want to eat? Maybe not. You understand? He promised to take care of every need. I don't have to worry about it. The only reason I'm worried about it is because my relationship is not what it needs to be with Him. And when my relationship isn't what it needs to be with Him, then I need to be worrying about everything. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord. God, thank you for not changing. Thank you for being the same God as when I was a little boy, 6, 7 years old. Mom, Dad went through a divorce. As a little boy, going to the altar and praying, "Dear God, please give me the wife that you would want me to marry one day." As a little child. And as you answered that prayer and you sent the wife for me, Lord, you're the same God today as you was hearing that little boy's prayer. Lord, you're the same God when the storms came, that we just prayed for your will to be done, and it was done. Lord, you're the same God. Lord, you're the same God as on Christmas morning, as we unwrap the gifts and we have the time with the family. You're the same God as the family goes home and the house is quiet. And the house gets lonely. And we may get a little depressed or a little sad. But you're still the same God. We just got to trust you. Lord, I pray that 2026, at the end of the year, we'll look back and we'll look on our lives and say, "Man, I've never seen it in a manner like this." Lord, I thank you for our church. Thank you for our church people. Lord, there's so many needs where people can serve that needs filled. Lord, I pray that you help us fill them in 2026. Be with our pastor. Be with the family. Lord, we thank you for Miss Musgrave and Brother Maynard being here today. Keep them safe. Keep them from getting ill, Lord. Take care of them. Lord, we pray for the rest of the family that's ill. Lord, help them get feeling better. We love you, Lord. Please bring us back tonight at 6 o'clock. Bring us back safely. We ask this all in thy name. Amen.